Welcome back to Pack Mentality. I'm Matt Bamwart. My wife, Caitlin, and I own Red Wolf CrossFit in Huntington Beach, California. And we started this podcast with one goal in mind, and that was to make fitness education accessible, engaging, and effective for everyone. Today, Caitlin and I are going to talk about the trinity of success in fitness. And there are three things that are the most fundamental aspects of program design, which we'll be discussing today. And we're going to take you behind the scenes on how we lay the foundation of all of our training programs, from group classes to one-on-one clients, because we do everything custom based on the individual or based on what we need to work on as a whole. And we're going to end the podcast with what our critiques are of the fitness industry's approach to program design. So let's get right into it. So just for context, just so you know that I can actually speak on this, is that I have spent the last 17 years full-time in the fitness industry. I've taken a lot of certifications, which I won't get into, and a lot of program design courses. And I spent the last 12 years owning a gym and helping over 2,000 people achieve their fitness goals, with about 500 of those being on a one-on-one basis. So I know it sounds like I'm tooting my horn, but I just want to give context that I actually have authority on speaking on this, and I do have a little bit of credibility.
Yeah, I would say so.
So let's quickly define the terms, and then we'll get right into it. So the holy trinity of program design, this is what we lay the foundation with. Now, if you don't balance these three correctly, you're going to have a terrible training program, and it's not going to be as effective. And I think a lot of coaches or trainers out there don't even know what this is, but the first one is volume. So volume is the total amount of work done. So reps, sets, and load, and that can be done either, volume can either be over a course of a training session or over the course of a week or an entire training cycle. Intensity is how hard you're working. And I think we all know this one. It's just often measured by max capacity in that training cycle or in that session. And then finally, frequency, which is how often you're performing a workout or exercise. So Caitlin, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me on this one.
So let's kind of go a little bit more into volume, intensity, and frequency. So what's your take on volume, and, you know, what is an often overlooked thing that people kind of maybe get wrong about volume when they're training?
Well, I guess the obvious one is that the amount of reps needed, I think, is usually misjudged. Most people think it, you know, 10 reps are fine, but in reality, you need, I think we've done this before, but the rule of 100, mm-hmm. right? At least 100 reps. So the number one thing I see most is that people don't have a sense of how long or how much it's going to take in order to see improvement. And then also, it always happens when I tell someone, oh, why don't you just do 50 reps? And they're like, 50? Like, it's always shocking. But in reality, once you start training and you realize, wow, like, it does take a lot more, 50 doesn't seem like very much. Yeah. I think 200 is a lot, but that's only because we've been training for quite a while. And with the right amount of volume, you then understand that it's going to be in the hundreds.
Yeah, I think volume is something that's grossly underestimated, because without volume, you cannot lay a base. So the problem is people get married to rep ranges like the 1 to 3, the 3 to 5, or 4 to 6, or 6 to 8,
then 8 to 12,
and 8 to 12 rep ranges, 15 plus every once in a while. But as soon as you have someone do 3 sets of 20 of something, it might as well be death.
Yeah. Going off a little bit here, but it would also matter on intensity too, because that's going to be what we talk about later, right? Mm-hmm. Because you could do 3 sets of 20 really light, easily, but what matters then is the next step. But for as far as volume goes, people need to be more comfortable with doing a set exercise all in a row too, not taking breaks. Mm. I think that happens a lot too, and I see that in workouts, is people take these frequent breaks and they're unwilling to push themselves past those comfortable limits, right? Which is 5 to 10.
Yeah, 100%. And also, it's important to remember that volume, intensity, and frequency, all these are relative to the individual, which is why it's so important to have a coach, because what may be volume for you is not volume for someone else. So for example, like, you take a marathon runner who can run a 3-hour marathon, and you have them do Helen 3 rounds, 400-meter run, 21 swings, 12 pull-ups. They might struggle on the swings and the pull-ups, maybe. Mm-hmm. But for them, 400 meters is not high volume. Yeah. You take someone who's been sedentary their whole lives, and 3 rounds of 400 meters might as well be a marathon to them.
Yes.
So it's important to remember that this is why coaching, having a custom program built for you, or at least having some level of input from an expert is very important for your fitness, because what may be volume, intensity, or frequency for someone else mm-hmm. will not be the exact same for you. And this is why people respond differently
yeah.
to other training programs. And I will go on a rant later about cookie cutter training programs, but I'm not going to do that now.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. People definitely need a coach and somebody to guide them and push them a little bit, and also to pull them back too. Because, I mean, we see it all the time, people taking on way too much volume at once mm-hmm. as well, right?
And then they get hurt.
Yeah.
Because the volume's not appropriate.
Exactly.
Or there's a progression to volume just like anything else.
Yes. And you should always, I love, in my training at least, doing a couple hard sets, but then always chasing it with a lot of volume of something very easy to me, right? So like, for example, if I was doing handstand pushups, I would chase that with a lot of pike pushups or just strict overhead press or something like on a downscale from it after, in order to get more volume
right.
on something that I'm trying to increase.
100%. Awesome. I love that. That makes sense. And that's why we kind of see that in our CrossFit training program and for our group classes. We see that a lot. So let's kind of move on to intensity now. Mm-hmm. So intensity is something that I think everyone thinks they have to have right off the bat. It's what CrossFit is known for. It's what turns a lot of people off about CrossFit in the first place. But again, intensity is relative. And I think people think that intensity means 1,000% effort, when intensity can be at different levels.
Yeah, there's different ways to intensify a movement or a workout. And it's not always, and the first thing people do is increase weight. They're like, okay, I'm going to go heavier. And it's like, mm-hmm. no.
Or they try and like sprint faster.
Yes, exactly. It's always just, oh, give a little more. But again, like looking back, it's actually slowing things down, making it a little bit more perfect, not necessarily moving on in the progression of making it more difficult, but actually just making it better. Mm-hmm. And I think once people start doing that, their fitness starts to escalate not only up, but faster.
Yeah. And, you know, a good example of this is tempo mm-hmm. for intensity, because tempo, like we're actually using less weight, but if you do like, if you just do a, like a 5 sets of 5 back squat with no tempo, at 225, you know, for your average guy at our gym, that's not going to be super tough. Mm-hmm. But you do 5 sets of 5 at 225 with a 5 second tempo down, suddenly that same weight becomes more intense, even though you're actually moving slower.
Right. And simply because you're holding it for a longer period of time.
You're just changing the stimulus.
Exactly. And changing the stimulus is important in order to see growth, because human bodies were constantly adapting. And that's kind of what sucks about being human, in a sense, is that you're always, like, your body is getting better as long as you're pushing it in that direction. So you always need to change the stimulus. And that's not always by just going up.
Yeah. And intensity does equal results, because, you know, if you look at the CrossFit spectrum, you know, force times distance divided by time equals intensity, and then intensity equals results. So when we're doing this, intensity can be at different levels. And I think I mentioned that earlier, but mm-hmm. when you're at working at different intensities, that's actually a good thing. Like, for example, if you're running a mile at, like, let's say you can run a mile in 7 minutes, but let's say you're doing it twice, so you ran 8 minutes for each mile, the intensity is actually pretty high, even though that's not max intensity, mm-hmm. because it's relative to the volumes. Because actually, you know, kind of coming back to volume dictates pace,
yes.
right? So it's important to remember that you can have gears when it comes to intensity. You don't have, intensity doesn't always mean 100%. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a common misconception, that people think that they have to be working at 100% capacity at all times in order to see results. And that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, I like what you said about gears. I used that analogy once in class when I was talking about the difference between sprinting and jogging. And you need to have a different type of pace when you're running, for that exact example of the workout might be a 400 meter sprint one time, or it might be 3 rounds for time. And you need to be able to distinguish between those things. And that's going to change your intensity.
Yeah, exactly. And let's go and end with frequency here. So frequency is how often you're performing a workout or exercise. And I think, in my opinion, frequency is the most important thing, regardless of your fitness level or what your goal is.
Yes, absolutely. And everyone is more than capable of doing something every single day. And that's the type of frequency we're talking about. It needs to be done a lot. And I see it all the time. Somebody maybe just does it like once a week. Oh, I want pull-ups. So they do pull-ups once a week. And I'm like, well, how badly do you want pull-ups? Oh, I really want it. Like, yeah. I want it by the end of the month. And I was like, you better start doing pull-ups every day then. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no other way around it. If you want something faster, then you need to do it more. It works in, you know, real life when you're trying to, when you're doing it in school or you're trying to study, well, you know, study more then, and you'll graduate faster.
Yeah.
Or whatever. But yeah, frequency is all the time.
Yeah. Frequency is where you will see the most results, because frequency refers to either how often you're working out or how often you're performing a specific exercise.
Yeah. And going off a little bit more on frequency, for example, pull-ups. Now, when I say do pull-ups every day, based on the individual, it might not be possible to physically do pull-ups every day. So in that case, you have to change the intensity. And the intensity would be, well, I'll do banded pull-up one day and ring row another day. And then that's where volume comes in. Well, then you have to do more reps because those are easier variations of what you're doing. And so that's how everything kind of comes into play, right? And matters in your training.
Yeah, all these three things operate synergistically. And the thing is that I see this a lot too when I see other people designing training programs, is they kitchen sink everything and they try and do volume, intensity, and frequency all in one in their training program.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense. You can't.
Yeah.
Like, unless you're peaking for the only time you actually will see volume, intensity, and frequency in person is probably the CrossFit Games.
Yeah. When you're competing, like it's now's the time.
Yeah.
You know?
Cause that's when they do everything. Cause yes. They do it, three or four days straight.
It's a test. It's never training.
Yes. And so when you're training this, you can really only do two out of the three at once. Mm-hmm. And for your average person, you maybe even just less, one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe one, and frequency being the most important one. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you know, we try and switch it between, we always keep frequency at the forefront when we're designing our training programs. And then we try and balance between volume and intensity throughout the week or throughout our entire training cycle.
Yes. Go ahead.
No, anything else you want to say?
No, I was just going to go off on a training cycle, but it's fine.
Do it.
No, later.
Okay, later. All right. So we're going to move on to just two massive mistakes that we see other gyms making. So we kind of covered, like, defining the terms, giving you guys examples and giving you guys context on what volume, intensity, frequency is, and letting you know that you can't do all three at once, that maybe one or two at the max, one at the minimum. So I see this and you see this, but mistake number one that I see is just complete incompetence and lack of customization. Mm-hmm. And the thing is that everyone responds to a training stimulus completely differently. So you could have one person who is a hyper responder to a training program, or even 10 people, but what about the other 90 people who are on that program? Because everyone has a different training age. Everyone has a different actual age. Mm-hmm. They also have different skills. Their nervous system reacts differently. Their hormones are all different. Their nutrition is different. Their lifestyle, you know, let's not get too deep into it, but everyone's going to respond differently based on the training program itself. And there's a lot of ignorance when it comes to program design, and it just leads to a mishmash of movements, and there's really no clear goal that's actually set.
Yeah, I don't like a training program that, let's just take a day, for example. I don't like when the day doesn't correlate with each other, especially if there's like a part A and part B. It should flow well. Like, there should be a purpose. I can't stand when the workout just, there is no purpose other than to just work out and just move around. And it's just a bunch of stuff to do. And you're like, yeah, I mean, you'll get sweating. Maybe you'll get a little out of breath or whatnot. But like, what was the purpose of any of that? And it should follow a long line in the whole week.
Yeah. And I think that there's an over-reliance on generic programming, because it's just kind of like a buffet or like a churn and burn kind of, like, just get people in, get people out. Let's get them sweating, make them feel like they did something, and then move on. And then we'll charge them $250 a month and we'll call it a day.
Yeah, just like hit all the marks, you know, upper body, lower body, a little bit of cardio. Okay, done.
Done. Yeah. As long as you're breathing hard and you're sweating.
Yeah. Yeah. There should be a point. There should be some overload. There should be a deload. Like, there's a point. We're not meant to just kind of do this plateau workout. There should be phases, just like anything else. Anything you train for, anything you do in life, not just in the gym, but like, I don't know, just just when you have goals and whatnot, you have these ups and downs, peaks and valleys. And that's the same thing with the training cycle.
Yeah, exactly. And it keeps you from burnout too, because it adds variety. Mm-hmm. You can change from intensity to frequency to volume. You can change up the movements. You can change up your training cycles. You can do deload weeks. You can do reload weeks. You can do, yep. You can peak for something. And that also what makes it fun.
Yeah.
Because
it's not boring.
Yeah. Because if you just constantly do the same thing, it's going to lead to either mental burnout or you're just going to stagnate.
Yeah. I found that, well, at least this is how I feel about the rest of the gym, but I think the newsletter that we send out now, you know, talking about what the training cycle is of the month, what the focus is, it keeps everybody kind of going in the forward direction, mm-hmm. right? This is what we're working on. This is what we're leading up to. And then it doesn't, again, get boring and it's constantly changing, but it all flows together. Like at least 2-3 months out, you can kind of see that progression coming along.
Yeah. And, you know, kind of moving right into mistake number two is that, you know, I think there's a huge misunderstanding of CrossFit's core, mm-hmm. of the core of it. And one of my biggest frustrations with CrossFit is just that it just, they focus exclusively almost on movements. Now, I know that that's not necessarily the case, but a lot of times people just focus on movements. Or I see a lot of CrossFit coaches or gyms, they just focus on the movement itself and time. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, AMRAP, EMOM, you know, 3 rounds per time, whatever, 21, 15, 9, whatever. And there really is no other systematic approach or progression to it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, there really is no like, hey, we're actually going to do an actual training cycle. Because I think there's still this mentality of like randomly preparing for any random task when that's not like, that is not a good training system. That's like me trying to learn math and being like, okay, today I'm going to do addition and then I'm going to do calculus and then I'm going to do
geometry.
Yeah, yeah. And statistics. Like, no, like there's a reason why we lay foundations first. And that's how we approach our training at our gym, because without a systematic approach to anything, how do you even know you're making progress? And just throwing random things in there will work temporarily because yeah. guess what? Like, yeah, you're working out. So of course you're going to see results if you come frequently. Mm-hmm. But if you're coming frequently from there, then you need to build a foundation of an actual progressive overload.
Yes.
And then reloading that and then a test, retest, and assess.
Yeah, no, that's a really good point to make, because a lot of new people that come into our gym, you know, they instantly see results and progress because, well, they're coming from nothing and now we're doing something. So of course they're going to see results.
They better see results.
Yeah. But the people who have been with us for, you know, a few years, like that's where following the training program matters and doing all the work and all the steps and logging your results and going a little bit heavier the next time. Like that's where all the pieces need to come together, because if you're doing this for a long term, like all those little stepping stones matter. Yeah. And if you're not doing it, you're staying complacent. You're just staying in the same place or you're getting worse, mm-hmm. right? It's one or the other. You're building bad habits then basically and just repeating the same cycle over and over again.
Yeah. And CrossFit does do a great job of teaching people how to progress from one skill to the next in mm-hmm. terms of movement. But I don't think they do a great job of teaching CrossFit gym specifically on how to design an actual training program with progressions.
Yeah. And to build strength.
Yes.
Right. Because it's not always about just trying to do the next movement. Mm-hmm. Like, right. Like it's like, oh, pike pushup, then handstand pushup. What if people don't even want to do that in the first place?
Yeah.
They don't address any of like, oh, how do I build strength in the strict press? It's not just by doing strict press.
Yeah.
It's going to be doing a bunch of other things that go along with that training cycle as well.
Yeah, exactly. And also, not everyone needs to overhead squat.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Because that's one of my biggest peeves
thing.
Yes. is like, I get it. It's one of the foundational movements of CrossFit. Mm-hmm. But if I take a 70-year-old who's never worked out before and I spend an hour working on their overhead squat with them and their fundamentals program, is that really moving them closer to their goal of living longer? Probably not.
Yeah.
So I could 100%. I could better spend that time just having them do another exercise that's more beneficial for them as an individual, rather than projecting my training program or what I value or what I like onto them and expecting them to do it.
Yes, that's a really good point, because I see that a lot from trainers, is that they just project what they like onto the person versus valuing the person as an individual and being like, how can I make you better for whatever it is that you want to do and what your goals are, right? Regardless of what I think, it's all about that. It's all about the client and the member. And that's how we kind of program as well, is that I try to talk to our members and, you know, get their input on, hey, what do you want to get better at? Like, what do you want to work on? Like, and it's amazing what they say sometimes, but Yeah, overhead squat is not usually on the list.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never had someone come into the gym and be like, oh man, I really want to snatch 315. Like every single person comes to me and they want to like, oh, I want to, you know, I want to live longer. I want to be healthy. Yes. I want to be injury free.
I want to look better. I want to be more toned.
I want to lose fat. I want to gain muscle. I'm like, okay, well then we will design a program for that.
Honestly, nobody says they want to do anything other than that. Like nobody wants to be like, oh, I want to back squat better. None of that.
Yeah.
It's all about how do I just get more in shape looking and I don't feel like dying all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And well, I mean, that's why we take a different approach to CrossFit at our gym specifically, because that's one of the best things that my coach taught me when I was going through all my learning, my program design and all the science behind it was that, you know, he told me, he's like, Matt, you know, we design training programs that revolve around the client and getting them from point A to point B.
Mm-hmm.
We don't project what we like or our preferences onto them, because at the end of the day, getting them results is what our job is.
Yeah.
And that was one of the best pieces of advice I ever got. And that's how I approach all my training now, because I have one-on-one clients who don't do quote unquote traditional CrossFit.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do CrossFit style workouts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. But am I killing them every time? Are we doing Fran?
No.
Like, are we doing thrusters and pull-ups?
They don't need to do stuff like
that. No. Like, I mean, we incorporate a lot of bodybuilding, a lot of tempo work, single arm rows. You know, we do tricep. We do, you know, tricep extensions and bicep curls. We do stuff that you probably wouldn't normally see in a traditional CrossFit gym,
mm-hmm.
because for their goals and for frequency, intensity, and volume, that is what's going to work best for them, for their individual needs. And that at the end of the day, that's the only thing that matters.
100%. I mean, in reality, I'm going to go ahead and say probably 90% of the people at our gym or anybody we work with in the past few years don't need traditional CrossFit at all. Like, they can do CrossFit style workouts, but in reality, they need slower paced workouts, more volume for sure, doing more frequency, like you said, but intensity actually needs to be a little bit lower because everyone's stress level is so high.
Yeah, the cortisol.
Their cortisol is so high already, they will get nothing out of intense CrossFit workouts all the time. So I think definitely in the last year, we've kind of changed our training program into kind of that and allowing people to do more reps and sets and I guess bodybuilding style workouts with a little bit of a CrossFit twist to it to keep it authentic. And I think people really like that.
Yeah. Like, I mean, CrossFit isn't defined by really, I mean, CrossFit is really just defined as increased work capacity over broad time and multiple domains. It doesn't really matter how you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, is it CrossFit? By definition,
yes.
I'm constantly varied functional movement at high intensity and intensity being relative to the individual. And I think that's one thing that makes us a little bit different is that we don't, I think that everyone thinks that there's a standardized version of intensity when intensity can be customized.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And so, just kind of wrapping things up in this kind of segment of the podcast was that two massive mistakes that we see other gyms make is that just complete incompetence and ignorance. They just don't know it about, you know, frequency, intensity, and volume. There's lack of customization. And there's also a misunderstanding of CrossFit's core. And, you know, I believe in this day and age in 2024 at the time of this recording is that, you know, there's a necessity of creating, you know, workouts that adapt to a diverse need of gym members rather than just sticking to a one-size-fits-all model.
Mm-hmm. The one-size-fits-all model works for the absolute beginner, like somebody who's going from the couch to the gym. Like a generic program might work. But if you're somebody who's now looking for more and working out more than a year, you're going to need customized program, like something more designed and tailored for you, because cookie cutter like training programs are all the same. And trust us, like we've bought them before. I've seen them all. And I'm shocked, honestly, that they're all just boring old workouts, like nothing special about them.
Yeah.
And that can only go so far.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of times, especially with the CrossFit training programs that you can purchase, even for your affiliate or for they highly lack any kind of approach to balancing intensity, frequency, and volume.
Yeah.
It's just workouts after workout, workout after workout.
Yeah.
After this combination,
random
after that combination.
Here, like, yeah, it's just, it's a mess.
It's not cohesive. Let's kind of go a little bit deeper into like what our approach is in terms of a personalized aspect. So let's kind of like go over like the importance of customizing why we customize workouts in the first place. And how, you know, we actually offer four different versions of our main workout based on goals, ability, training age, actual age, and stress levels.
Yeah, we started doing this, maybe 2020. We started actually really honing in on writing different variations of the daily workout. And I found that it actually increased attendance at the gym, number one, because people were then able to see what the next option was. For example, if I came in and it was like the workout was Amanda, right, with snatches and ring muscle ups, and I couldn't do either, more likely I would stay home and I would skip that workout. But if I saw like the variation, and we call it fitness plus, is, you know, the next tier down, and then fitness would be after that. If I saw like the next variation was something more realistic, like dumbbell snatches and some banded pull-ups, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I could do that probably. And then I would come in and do it. So writing it out that way really helped our gym members. And that's kind of why we started doing it. And having that customized ability helps people make their workout better. They have more fun with it. They can push themselves in certain areas. And it's usually the areas they like most.
Yeah.
But also it keeps everybody a little bit more accountable and honest too. For example, when I write Echo Bike in the workout, right, as the fitness option instead of RX, it definitely gets people thinking like, maybe I could do this workout RX today. And it'll push them in a different way, right? And so having that balance is really good.
Yeah, and I like it too because it allows us as coaches to be able to customize the workout further, because we pretty much write four different versions of one workout for four different avatars based, like what we said earlier, based on like skills, you know, goals, ability level, and what that, and then from there, we actually even customize it even more based on where they're at. Either they might have like something bothering them that day, or they just didn't sleep enough. So then we're able to customize reps. We're able to customize the movement, whatever. So that way they get the best workout for them as an individual, even in a group setting.
Yeah. And what's important to also note too, is that it's not just changing the movement to like an easier movement. It's also changing the reps, right? Because then if you're going to do an easier movement, like I said before, you need to increase the volume.
Yes.
We need to do more reps. We need
Hence
to do
why
more...
we balance these three.
Yes. Sets, distance, all that kind of stuff matters. And then that's why we write it out a certain way. And it makes more cohesive sense. And it's, again, better for the client or the athlete.
Yeah, exactly. And I think really an easy way to think about this is like the difference between someone doing a 400 meter run and a 200 meter run.
Yes.
Like we have some people, for them, a 200 meter run is just as intense and just as much volume as some of our more experienced members doing a 400.
Yes.
So even though it's a shorter distance, they're still getting the exact same stimulus that we're after.
Yes.
And for the workout.
Yeah. And time domains. I mean, changing one thing could change the entire stimulus of the workout. And that's why, you know, we have time caps. I mean, we have time caps for a reason, because we're trying to achieve a certain stimulus, right? We're trying to get the body to work in a certain way and see what it's capable of, basically. And so that's why there are time constraints sometimes. And that's another way of increasing intensity.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And now let's kind of go back to intensity, frequency, and volume. So let's kind of, like, a key takeaway is that frequency is king, right? So, you know, for example, if one of my personal goals right now is to do 20 strict handstand pushups unbroken, because that's just a weakness I've always had. So I know that if I don't do it every day, then I'm going to fall off and I'm not going to progress as fast. So I'm committing to doing 20 strict hand. It doesn't have to be all in one sitting, but throughout the day, at the minimum, I have to complete 20 strict handstand pushups at some point.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just emphasizing the role of, in order to master a skill or to get better at something, the more frequently you do it, the more reps you get, the better you're going to get it. The faster you're going to get it.
The faster.
Yeah.
And that applies to everything in life. You want to cook better? Well, then you better cook every day, right? And practice. I mean, you tell your children who want to get better at soccer, well, then you better go outside and kick the ball around every single day. So why wouldn't that apply to fitness or to achieving a certain physical goal or whatever? I like what you said about the handstand pushups, because we have, you know, the monthly challenges. And last month was the pushups, 50 pushups a day. No, sorry, 2 months ago was 50 pushups a day. Last one was jump rope. And every time we have these challenges, we have some individuals who do them every day, and they all see huge improvement. I have had somebody do it every day and not get better.
Yeah.
Like, that's just not a possibility. Yeah.
And thank you for bringing that up, because case in point, Margaret, for the strict pull-up challenge, started with only one And then now mm-hmm. she can do five. Yesterday she did five yeah, strict pull-ups.
Like unbroken. Yeah. And so even though people are going to think, oh, I'm going to be too tired to do it every day. No, mm-hmm. trust me. Like you're not going to be that. Again, you can change the intensity and do a different variation, mm-hmm. but it's the act of doing the action and mm-hmm. and putting in that effort, that concentrate, all those things matter in the long term, because the volume accumulated mm-hmm. long term is going to get you there faster than if you just did it one and then 3 days later two. Like it's just going to take too long.
Mm-hmm.
And for everybody who is super impatient, just do it more often.
Yeah, just do more of it.
Just do more, like problem solved.
Yep, absolutely. So if you take one thing away from this podcast, everybody, with between intensity, frequency, and volume, frequency is the most important thing. So if you want to get fitter, you want to be better at a skill, it doesn't matter what it is, do it pretty much every day.
Yeah.
Or as frequently as you can.
No, it's every day.
Every day. Okay, deal. Now we're going to kind of move on to balancing volume, intensity, and frequency. So, you know, you can only effectively focus on two out of three, like kind of like what we said earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And because for optimal results, if you do all three at once, you're just going to get burned out. And so let's kind of chat about the importance of cycling the through all three of these phases, mm-hmm. focusing on volume, intensity, and frequency. And, you know, just so that we can keep training effective, right?
Yeah, for me personally, I would like to see majority of everybody doing volume and frequency the most.
Mm-hmm.
Like those two things. Intensity can be left out for just really important, like competitions, like when you're peaking. Maybe it's like a really fun workout that you want to do really well at and you want to push yourself. Like mm-hmm. save intensity for those times. But any other time, I feel like, you know, lower intensity, more volume, more often.
Yeah. And the reason being is just because, you know, we're all busy adults.
Yes.
The majority of our members aren't athletes, like competing in anything.
Your nutrition isn't that good, people. So you already have like these sleep, things against stress. You.
Yeah.
Like we have to work with what we got. And because you're not eating well, you're not sleeping well, you have high stress. Okay. Well, then we can't be intense. Like,
yeah. Because your cortisol is already high and intensity tends to make cortisol
make it
even worse.
And then you spiral and then you feel like crap and tired and you wonder why. And then you blame the workout when in reality you should be blaming yourself for not eating, sleeping,
mm-hmm.
or controlling your stress.
Right.
and then you don't come into the gym because you blame the gym. And that's the problem. It's not the problem.
Yeah. I know that the gym is, even if you come, what, five times a week, that's what?
You're still like not even.
What's the percentage of like your week?
Oh, I think, I don't know. I forget
like
what it
five,
is.
Like 5 to 10%
yeah,
of your entire week.
It's yeah. so small.
Yeah, it's not that much. So I love that. And that makes total sense because I think everyone skips to intensity way too quickly.
they just want to, you know, do it really, really hard, really fast, want to do the workout. And it's like, you need to scale back a little bit.
Yeah. Let's kind of get into like if people are in a certain mood, what they should be doing. So for example, like if you're bored, just in my opinion, I think you actually need to increase the frequency of your workouts.
Yeah.
Because, you know, and when you increase your frequency, you're actually required to have different activities or different variations of maybe
every
the same
day.
Exercise.
Yeah, exactly. Because, yeah. you know, you can't, if again, pull-up example, you couldn't possibly do strict pull-ups every day if you're not very good at it. So then, yeah, you're constantly changing up the movement and the volume of it. And that kind of makes it fun, a little bit more challenging.
Yeah. And I will make a case for intensity here, because I think if you're feeling unmotivated, like let's say your cortisol isn't that high, but you're just kind of feeling unmotivated. I actually think intensity, boosting that intensity can actually kind of wake you up a little bit. And you know, high intensity sessions which are short can be kind of control some of that cortisol spike
mm-hmm.
and making them, that getting that endorphin rush after a workout might actually reignite your drive. So that's the only time maybe I would add intensity to it, because people tell me all the time that they're unmotivated. And sometimes when I'm unmotivated and I kind of just get in like a very intense short workout, suddenly like I'm like awake again.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to go again.
Yeah. You need to feel, I think, success in the gym in order to get motivated. So whatever that means to you, but like you said, I mean, for me personally, not people think they're working hard. You could work harder, right? And you could like increase the intensity there too. And so I think that's one way of kind of getting remotivated back again.
Yeah, that's a tough one, because mm-hmm. you have to kind of dig deeper into your what is actually holding you back from motivation.
For sure. Like everyone says they're like the other day when I asked the question on Instagram, majority of the people responded with what they're lacking most or what's keeping them, what's holding them back from getting their goals. And everybody, majority answered motivation. And these are all, those were all individuals who actually have been working out for a really long time. And mm-hmm. I get it because like once you've been doing this for year after year, like, yeah, you can get unmotivated. But that's where goal setting, you know, having that growth mindset is super important. And that comes all from within.
Yeah. And there has to be a way where you, and this is, I wish I could give someone a cookie cutter answer to this, but there really isn't one. And you have to find a way. And doesn't really matter how, but to find reward from just doing the activity itself.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like kind of thinking for myself, like, you know, I really don't have any goals. I just get gratification just from working out, period.
Yeah.
Because of how it makes me feel. But I've been rewarded a lot in the past
mm-hmm.
for working out because like I've won competitions. I've, you know, it feels good to hit PRs. Like all those things have accumulated to where I get reward mentally from just the act itself.
Yeah.
So if you could, you just have to, unfortunately, you're going to have to figure out a way to find that spike to where you, it's just working out is rewarding just for the sake of working out.
Yeah. Or you could, you know, be like me and I want to look good. Like, I'll be honest, like, I don't want to like not look good. And also I work out every day specifically because I'm like, I really want to eat.
Yeah.
Like, I really want to eat certain foods that I really like. And I feel like if I don't work out, I cannot do those things that I want to do. Mm-hmm. So in a sense, it is my reward because if I work out, I'm able to do X, Y, Z, whatever that is.
Yeah.
Right. So it's kind of like my stepping stone in Absolutely. Order to do the other stuff.
Yeah. And then finally ending with, if you are really stressed out, this is where frequency kind of comes back into play as well. I think frequencies, when you're stressed out, frequency is probably one of the best things you can do.
Yeah.
Getting in the gym more often.
Because you need the endorphin rush, right? Because if you're really stressed out, you probably have low hormones at that point and you need to like get that back in.
Yeah. If you're stressed out, taking it out in the gym is actually extremely helpful for stress relief. So if you're stressed out, just up the amount, as hard it is, try and get into the gym more often. It will help.
But when you get into the gym, you cannot do an intense workout, right? So if you're stressed out, do not do high intensity because you're going to make it worse. Mm-hmm. You need to do low intensity, like bodybuilding, kind of like just slower paced workouts. You can definitely go heavy for sure if you're able to, right? But high intensity, like Fran, that would be a bad idea.
Yeah. And when we're referring to intensity, we're referring to something like very CrossFit-y intensity.
Yeah.
Like super thrusters high power,
and pull-ups. Yeah. Everyone's favorite.
Yeah, because you can have an intense workout, quote unquote, by just doing like, you know, heavier weights, but just not killing yourself and having lots of rest.
Exactly.
So let's kind of go into how understanding these concepts will benefit our listeners. So, you know, customization leads to better results and higher satisfaction among just, you know, how you feel with the workouts themselves. And if you can take a more personalized approach to your program design and the program that you're following, not only is it going to keep you from getting bored, but you actually see results over the long term and you'll just be happier in general.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I think customization is number one key. So,
yeah. And how will that benefit them?
Simply because, like I said this before, but all of the cookie cutter training programs, they're not meant for any one individual. Like, they're just written for a very generic avatar. And if you don't know the movement, if you don't have the equipment, like you're already set back in that sense. So having a customized program, you know, tailored to either A, your equipment or your needs or whatever you have, like that's already setting you up for success, right? If you already are limited by something written on a pre-programmed training program, more likely than not, you're not going to do any of it.
Yeah.
Right. So it's important to have something written for you that you're more likely to follow and set you up for that path to success.
Yeah, absolutely. Any other closing thoughts on frequency, intensity, and volume before we wrap things up?
No, I think that's it.
All righty, everybody. Well, let's kind of give a quick summary here. So two massive mistakes that we think that other gyms make and that I guess even people who write their own workouts make is just complete incompetence and lack of customization. So work with an expert who can actually help you design a training program that has progressions and that can balance training frequency, intensity, and volume at the right time, at the right pace for you. And taking a personalized approach is a huge advantage regardless of where you're training, whether it's CrossFit or any other training program, because you're going to be able to get your goals and your ability and your experience is all going to factor into how the program is designed. And if, I don't know about you, but I hate wasting my time with doing something that's not going to be effective towards getting me from point A to point B. There's no point in doing something if it's not going to help me reach me closer to my goals. And then a huge key takeaway today, everyone, that if you're listening, is that of all these three, intensity, frequency, and volume, frequency is king. So focus on either doing something you want to get better at every day, or frequency being just how often you're coming into the gym. And I think that's really the main takeaways today.
Yes, I agree.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening. If this was helpful, please leave us a 5-star review so we know to make more content just like this. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Red Wolf CrossFit, and please DM your questions or content suggestions there. We'd love to hear from you. Until next time, good luck. Have fun.
Nailed it.